Leading Ideas Talks is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly newsletter at www.churchleadership.com/leading ideas. Leading Ideas Talks is also brought to you by the Increasing Active Engagement Video Toolkit. What can you do when 20% of your congregation does 80% of the serving, learning, and leading? Learn how to get and keep people involved and engaged with Increasing Active Engagement. Available on DVD and download at churchleadership.com/shop. Looking for a fresh approach to intergenerational ministry? In this episode, we discuss Messy Church with Johanna Myers, Director of Christian Formation at Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Johanna is an integral part of the Messy Church movement, and she shares with us how this way of being church for all ages is a viable possibility for established congregations.
Welcome to Leading Ideas Talks, a podcast featuring thought leaders and innovative practitioners. I'm Douglas Poe, the director of the Lewis Center, and your host for this talk. Joining me is Dr. Johanna Myers, the director of Christian Formation at Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Johanna is a pioneer in adapting the Messy Church movement to the United States context, and our focus for this conversation is alternative forms of Christian formation. How are you today?
I am great. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, it is wonderful to have you, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. And I want to begin with just, can you give us the short version of what is the Messy Church and sort of how you became interested in exploring this movement?
Sure. So Messy Church started in England, in a little village outside of Portsmouth, England, back in 2004. Lucy Moore and some others in that church were getting frustrated because they felt all the resources, beautiful buildings and facilities, but people from their community, particularly families, weren't interested in coming to church on Sunday mornings. So, you know, like many of us, you get caught in that same kind of pattern. You keep doing the same thing over and over on Sunday morning and expecting new people to show up. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. And so Messy Church was born out of this desire to reach families in the community in a way that the church wasn't reaching just on a kind of traditional Sunday morning. I'm pretty sure that if you asked Lucy now if she could have imagined what Messy Church would have looked like 15 years after they got started, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have imagined that Messy Church would grow into something that is now worldwide. So almost 30 different countries, almost 4,000 Messy Churches planted around the world. We're growing here in the United States. Monthly, we add new Messy Churches to our list. And so the latest numbers suggest that in the 15 years that Messy Church has been going on, we've gone from, you know, a small village church in a very particular location in England to a global movement that on any given month, maybe 500,000 people are attending around the world.
And the Messy Church really sort of works to be intergenerational, to focus on formation, and is something that you have been involved with for a period of time, but some of our listeners may not be familiar with it.
Messy Church is church, but not like you would typically think of church. It meets at a time other than Sunday morning, and in different communities go at different times. We at Aldersgate meet on Sunday afternoons. There are others that meet on, say, a Saturday morning or a Friday evening or another weekday afternoon or evening. And Messy Church includes kind of four key components. Some kind of welcome, a long extended period of time where we engage in a Bible story or a Bible theme creatively and in hands-on ways. It includes a celebration time, which may include a song or a prayer, some creative storytelling. So what we would think of as worship, but in a very kind of creative way. And then it always ends with a sit-down meal together. So those are kind of the four key components. And it's built around five core values: hospitality, creativity, all ages together, celebration, and everything that we do is centered around Jesus and making space for people to meet Jesus. So that's a little bit of kind of our I guess, the core of who we are and what we do at Messy Church. I stumbled on Messy Church back in 2013. I have friends that were living in the UK and had heard about it through them. And I just was really looking for something for our church. I didn't quite know what. Had a few things that I was thinking of, and I knew it needed to be not just for kids or not just for youth, but it needed to be for families. It needed to be for everyone. And so the more I looked into what was happening with Messy Church, the more I just felt like that was the right thing for our church.
So just to pick up on a couple of the things you've talked about, the first is Messy Church is not sort of starting your own congregation, but Messy Church really is a movement that can take place within a sort of current faith community. Am I correct in...
So it's a both and, I would say. For us at Aldersgate, it was something that started within an existing congregation and still operates in a way that's very anchored to our traditional congregation. Although our Messy Church family is a mix, a pretty wide mix of people who maybe don't have anything else to do with Aldersgate except at Messy Church. So that is their congregation. Messy Church is also very much a fresh expression of church. And more we are seeing Messy Churches being planted alongside maybe a traditional congregation or alongside maybe a traditional kind of nonprofit or organization, but it is, but these Messy Churches are being planted as a fresh expression. So like a dinner church or another type of fresh expression. So the Messy Church movement grew up alongside kind of parallel to the Fresh Expressions movement in the UK. And we've really worked well, together. So I did a training in Western North Carolina a couple of months ago, and the training was sponsored by the Fresh Expressions kind of organization within the Western North Carolina Annual Conference for the United Methodist Church. So for some churches, it may very well be a ministry, an outreach ministry that's connected to their local church. But for others, it may very well be like planting a new church or planting a separate worship service. Or a separate kind of congregation. So it's both, and it depends on the context, which is true for a lot of things related to Messy Church. Messy Church is going to look very different in each community because it's very adaptable.
And sticking with that theme, how do you prevent those characteristics from just simply repeating what someone would try to do in sort of their current worship? You follow me? Because oftentimes we hear about different things and then people just say, oh, okay, we'll just fold that into our worship and we'll call it Messy Church. So how do you make sure that those core characteristics really are moving us towards something different than what already takes place in many of our worship experiences?
Right. So I don't know too many worship services that you can go to where there's going to be scissors, shaving cream, paint, pipe cleaners, paper, some kind of building material. By nature, the activities, the crafts, the hands-on aspect of Messy Church is very, very different from what we would see And I would say most worship services. There may be some out there that I haven't heard of. I would love to hear about them because I think that would be fabulous. But on the whole, the bulk of our time in Messy Church is spent in very kind of hands-on ways. So we do science experiments together. We do crafts. We do, you know, we might build something together. We might, play a game or something like that. And in that sense, you're not going to necessarily walk into a messy church and think, wow, this looks just like our Sunday morning service. That being said, we do ask that every messy church who uses kind of the name and the logo, ideally is registered. It's a trademarked logo and name, but we simply ask that for a messy church, they honor these five core values. And again, they are hospitality, which for us means welcome, and it also means sitting down together around a meal. That's a huge component of messy church. It's really the place where relationships are built. Creativity. We get our hands dirty. We get messy. We do creative things. We think about Bible stories and Bible things creatively. And so the activity is central to who we are. We worship a very creative God. And so we try to tie that sense of God's creativity into what we're doing at Messy Church. We're celebratory. We like to celebrate life together, and worship takes on a real celebratory feel. There are messy churches that do communion together or baptisms together on a regular basis, but it takes on a very different feel, I think, when celebration becomes a core component and a core value. We are intentionally all ages. You may walk in and feel like messy church is geared for children, but if you look around, you're going to see four or five generations kind of in the mix, working on a project together, getting kind of their hands working together to do something or to build something or to create something. And so I think for maybe a traditional worship service, we might see four or five generations sitting together, but we don't always see them interacting together. And what Messy Church does is kind of breaks down, so we're not just sitting alongside each other, but we're actually interacting with each other. We're creating a community that is intentionally intergenerational. Through that, we offer a space for people to meet Jesus. And that is true for every worship service, I would hope. Regardless of whether it's traditional or messy or otherwise. But we just maybe approach our creating space for people to meet God in a different way. I don't know whether that answered your question
No, that was perfect. And I'm going to pick up on the Jesus piece in a second, but I want to come to the creativity piece. Because again, I can imagine individuals like me who are thinking, what if I'm not really creative? So how do I do or approach Messy Church? Do I have to go out and find someone with a creative spirit so that it could really be something different? So since that's one of the core characteristics, how can individuals who are not as creative be engaged with Messy Church?
Are you talking about in terms of starting a messy church or just being...
I'm thinking in terms of starting one.
Starting a messy church.
Yes.
So one of the great things about messy church as we've grown, especially as we've grown globally, is the amount of resources that are available for churches that are getting started. We have a magazine that is published three times a year. Each one of those magazines has four full messy church sessions in it that has... 10 different activities that you could potentially use. There's a wealth of resources across social media and Pinterest, and we're forever kind of sharing with one another, hey, this worked or this didn't work. So in terms of kind of finding the activities or finding the creative outlets, I think you're going to have, whether you yourself starting a messy church consider yourself to be a creative person or not, I think you're going to find the resources to help get started. You're certainly going to find a group of people around the world who are excited about helping. And that's been really, it's been really great to see how we support one another in whatever context we're involved in. So the resources are there. I think the other thing is that we have so many creative people in our congregation and in our congregations that don't necessarily have outlets for their creativity within our current structure. So we have people who paint, and we have people who build and who are amazing scientists and engineers and craftspeople. And we don't always find outlets for them to say, here's how to use your engineering skills or your architectural skills or your painting or your photography or whatever it may be. Here's how to use that to grow in your faith, but also to help other people grow in theirs. I don't know that we do a good job all the time of providing outlets for the most creative folks in our congregation. And so Messy Church kind of can help build some bridges. I think most churches have more creative people than they even realize it. We just haven't given those people a chance to let those gifts shine in disciple formation. So I would encourage anyone who's getting started with Messy Church to not let kind of a fear of the creative be a reason for not getting started with Messy Church. That's going to come, and it's probably going to come more easily than you would even imagine.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. I want to pick back up on, you mentioned a couple of times, the intentionality about helping people build a relationship with Jesus. And you even mentioned at Aldersgate, where you have individuals who have connected with Messy Church who don't connect with the congregation in other ways. So it really has been a way of reaching out to individuals who would not normally think about entering a faith community. Why do you think Messy Church is able to reach some individuals and help to build that relationship with Jesus that our regular congregations or faith experiences are not able to do?
Right. So Messy Church is primarily built around reaching those who would not traditionally attend church on Sunday morning. It's intentionally designed and meant for those who are not already a part of a local congregation. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't enhance the worship and discipleship of those who are already involved in a local congregation. I mean, it certainly can be a both and. But I think some of the most recent research from Messy Church suggests that even as much as maybe 60% of those who are attending Messy Churches around the world are either non-churched or de-churched people, those who have never grown up in church or who have, for whatever reason, have left church. And that, to me, is one of the most exciting things about being a part of Messy Church, is that I feel like we are reaching people that we wouldn't normally reach on Sunday morning. Now, why that is, you know, I don't know. Whether it's because somebody has left church because they've been hurt by the traditional structure or by something that's happened, I don't know. Or maybe they just aren't sure of church. But I think there's something about walking into a building and not being sure of what's going on, or not understanding the liturgy, or not understanding some of the words that we use. And it maybe is a little bit frightening. When you walk into Messy Church, you're not necessarily going to find a very structured liturgy where everybody seems to know the words and you're the only person who doesn't. Or there's not necessarily a thing that kind of everybody knows what's going on but you. Messy Church is a lot more free. I don't know the right word for it, but it's a little bit more chaotic in a way that you can kind of walk in and not necessarily be sure what's going on, but also kind of find a place around a table and get started with an activity, or find a place around a story that somebody's telling. And it's designed in a way, because it does reach children, it also is a way that is attractive for those who didn't grow up in church or who aren't used to the stories or who are hearing some of these Bible stories for the first time in years or ever. So messy church isn't something for a church to start because they want to quote unquote fix their Sunday morning service. It's an outreach, or it's a fresh expression. It's a separate entity of reaching people that aren't necessarily interested at all in what you're doing on Sunday morning. Not that they're not interested in God, but they're just maybe not interested in the traditional form of religion that they think that they know.
Yeah, and I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from what I've read and perceived, it has the ability of helping someone who has been a Christian all of their life, or someone who's never stepped into the church, to feel comfortable in the same space, because it's able to, at the same time, help someone enter into the story, but also deeply convey the story for those who have been Christian for a while. So that the ability to do both of those things is, I think, a pretty amazing,
That key of hospitality, it's not just about eating together. Hospitality is also learning how to welcome both those who have been around for a while and those who are new. And that sense of welcome is critical. It's critical for any congregation, but I think we're doing it well at Messy Church. And that's something I think we're all a little bit proud of, that we're finding ways to welcome in both the old and the new.
So, and I think I know the answer to this, but I will ask, can it be adapted to small congregations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if anything, small congregations, Messy Church is something that they can do that doesn't take a lot of resources. I mean, if you think about it, you don't have to invest a lot in fancy art supplies or crazy things. I mean, give us, a stack of construction paper and some scissors and some glue sticks, and we can do a lot with that. And none of those things are expensive. So it's something that a small congregation they don't necessarily have to have a huge financial investment. The meals that we do are very simple, and we take turns. Different groups within our larger church help support the meals. We keep it very lightweight, very simple, nothing fancy or extravagant. But also within a smaller congregation, it's a great way of kind of crossing those generations and building that sense of community. And I think sometimes small congregations maybe feel that they don't have, they're not sure what they have to offer to, say, the families in their church. Messy Church is a really great way of saying we don't have to have a highfalutin youth group or a fancy children's ministry. We have Messy Church, and that brings everybody together. So I think it is very, very adaptable, whether you're in a urban setting or a suburban or rural setting, small or large churches. Messy Church is going to look different in all of those settings, but it should. It should be adaptable to each setting and to each context. But it's definitely something that any church could do if that's where God is calling them.
As we get ready to bring this to a close, I want to ask, how can those interested get involved in Messy Church? So they've listened to all these wonderful things you've said, and they're like, well, I'm interested in, you know, possibly getting involved with Messy Church. How would they go about doing this?
Sure. So churches that are in the United States can contact us at Messy Church USA. It's messychurchusa.org. And from that website, you can get information about how to register. There's also a link for a monthly webinar on getting started with Messy Church. Our executive director, Roberta, leads those on a monthly basis. And it's a great kind of free way to get started, to hear a little bit more about who we are and what we're doing. We also try to offer training events kind of throughout the country. And we keep getting asked for kind of more and more training events. And so that's something that is certainly on the rise within the United States. I did two back in the fall. We had here in the Southeast, we had two or three going in the North, in the Northeast, a bunch on the West Coast kind of happening. So those training sessions are a great way to bring a team of, you know, 2 to 5 people that you want to help kind of get started, get a messy church going, to come and learn more about the core values and to learn more about the key components and what messy church looks like and how to publicize and all of that kind of stuff. So all of that information is available on our website as well. Messychurch.org, .uk is the kind of the original group, and that can connect you with the global Messy Church organization. Messy Church USA works alongside that Messy Church, the original group. It just became a separate nonprofit just because there's so much territory to cover in the United States that just trying to keep up, it was easier for us to kind of create a separate kind of USA-centered Messy Church organization where we would have volunteer regional coordinators and the training events and all those kinds of things in a way that could specifically reach us here in the U.S. But certainly anyone from around the world can go to either Messy Church website and find out more and get connected to. We've got groups online where leaders are sharing ideas and kind of getting started on that. So a really active Facebook presence and whatnot. And within the United States, you've got regional coordinators. I cover North and South Carolina. We have one in Tennessee. We're growing more and more regional coordinators. And we're volunteers who are happy to sit down and talk to anyone about Messy Church and help offer some suggestions and pointers for getting started. So there's a great network of people excited about Messy Church, who are in different stages of doing Messy Church, who are actively welcoming opportunities to work with other churches that are hoping to start as well.
Well, thank you very much. This has been, I think, really helpful for our listeners, and for many of them will be an introduction to something that I think they will certainly want to go to the website and check it out.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me and for giving us a platform to talk about Messy Church. And we're really excited about what's happening and how it's growing and how God is working in this movement.
On the next Leading Ideas Talks, we speak with Sydney Williams of Crossing Capital about how congregations can develop new sources of capital in the marketplace, engage community partners, and develop unrecognized sources of social, intellectual, and human capital within the pews.
Rather than simply saying, you know, let's see who can donate food so we can provide a meal once a month or once a week, we put a plan together that said if we could raise $1.5 million from the marketplace, we would provide dinners Monday through Friday, 52 weeks out of the year. And within about 6 to 8 months, we were able to achieve our fundraising goal of $1.5 million. And for the last 7 years, we have now operated our community soup kitchen we call Table of Hope, 52 weeks out of every year, 5 days a week. We've never missed a day. And that's because we continue to engage the marketplace in this ministry.
Thank you for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe free to Leading Ideas at churchleadership.com/leadingideas.